From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Women made history on election night with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez becoming Congress's youngest ever woman, Deb Haaland and Charisse Davids becoming the two first ever Native American women in the House, and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib becoming the first ever Muslim American women representatives. Despite what appears to be a loss for Stacey Abrams in Georgia's gubernatorial race, women candidates shone through the night and were buoyed by the record turnout among female voters. My guest is Jody Jacobson, president and editor-in-chief of Rewire.news. Welcome to the program, Jody.
Thank you for having me.
So as of now, as of Wednesday morning, Stacey Abrams has still not conceded defeat. She wants to basically wait until every vote is counted. We'll see how that turns out. But just her being a candidate seems to have galvanized voters in Georgia, women voters especially, and women all over the country. There were even conservative women in Georgia that were voting for Stacey Abrams. How did she and the other women candidates who ran for governorships, House races, Senate races, how did you feel about all of that?
Well, obviously I'm ecstatic that so many women are running. I'm heartbroken over Stacey's situation. I don't know what the situation is yet, and I'm not willing to concede myself. I mean, look, you know, I think it's hard to lump all of these things together. On one hand, it's fantastic that we are seeing more women running. And I personally am not an ascriber to more women is better. I think it has to be more progressive women. We must get more progressive women in there, into Congress, into seats of power. And so I'm delighted that we see so many really, truly progressive women having won races. With regard to Stacey, I don't think that we can ever say that she lost. I mean, we know that from the data that I've seen so far, and it's early still, but I know that, you know, too many white women still voted for Brian Kemp. And that tells us that there is a tremendous amount of racism among women, white women, who buy the narrative that is put out by, you know, what I would call radically right-wing people. I don't even think the term conservative is useful anymore. So in Stacey Abrams' case, I don't think we can lump her together, because we can't lump together races where the conditions are so profoundly different. She faced tremendous obstacles just by virtue of the voting problems that Kemp, you know, basically made happen.
And then you had these insane neo-Nazi groups with the racist robocalls, militia groups that were threatening violence. It was pretty intense. But Jody, I'm wondering if you think that the sort of women's resistance that we saw at the polls was paved by the hashtag MeToo movement, the responses during the Kavanaugh confirmation, going all the way back also to the 2017 Women's March.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's no question that all of the different veins of broader women's movements are pulsing with energy and working really hard. They have to overcome some obstacles. One obstacle is, you know, no matter how hard they work, we're still working in highly gerrymandered districts with a lot of voter suppression in many different states, not just Georgia, not just Florida. So one thing that no matter how much energy we've got a number of obstacles to overcome. That's one thing. The other thing is that there really are, I think, a tendency, again, on the part of Democrats to say more women without really focusing on what people need to be hearing and what motivates and excites people to get out and vote for people. So Compare, for example, Republican light Heidi Heitkamp, who I think actually valiantly tried to save her seat, with the energizing kind of perspective of a Beto O'Rourke or of Ilhan Omar or others who are really out there pushing the envelopes of the vision of what people can see being out there for them. And I think we need to be pushing for those kinds of candidates, not necessarily the cinemas and the hate camps and the others. And we need to be pushing for those kinds of candidates with money and power, not only in the state legislature, not only in the gubernatorial seats, not only in Congress, but at the Secretary of State level, the Attorney General level. We need to hold the levers of power that enable us to get more power. And I think we may be missing some of that.
There were several ballot propositions around abortion on Tuesday's in races in Alabama, in West Virginia, and Oregon. Two of those anti-abortion measures passed pretty strongly. Some attribute that to the evangelical vote coming out in full force, because Trump has just basically been handing them one thing after another. The Kavanaugh confirmation was very much a gift to evangelicals, and they have an eye, of course, on overturning Roe versus Wade, don't they?
Right. Well, they have a bullseye on Roe v. Wade, that's for sure. And these are purposefully created, I think, to force that issue, to force it to the Supreme Court eventually, which is where it will get. And we know that the anti-choice movement has been on this road for a very long time. I haven't yet had a chance to really analyze those ballot measures, and I know that folks on our staff are writing on them right now. But it's, again, we are in a precarious place ever since Trump was elected, because the seating of judges by the Republicans, the Supreme Court, all of those things will now be used against health rights, against voting rights, against basic rights of dignity and humanity. And so the abortion piece, I think, is one part of that broader attack on the personhood of women, but it will be part of a broader attack on personhood and dignity of people.
Do you think that women as a whole are going to become more civically engaged? I mean, I absolutely hear what you're saying about white women, unfortunately, continuing to show poor judgment when it comes to voting for the racist candidates. But at the same time, we now have a record-breaking number of women in the House, which is pretty remarkable. And women of color, progressive women of color, did quite well on Tuesday night, especially in the House, even though, of course, the Democrats lost the Senate, lost more seats in the Senate. Do you think that women's activism can only have a good effect on the electorate? Because these things take time, and it's only really been 2 years since we saw this.
We're not going to change, a couple hundred years of US history or more in one or two elections. There's no way that's gonna happen. And I think we're unrealistic if we think that. What I do think needs to happen is that the more women and the more progressives, male, female, LGBTQ, no matter who these folks are, they need to be pushing hard. I hear arguments that, now we're gonna expect too much from women candidates. I think we don't expect enough of any representatives. I think we don't demand enough of them. And therefore, we are in a crisis of extreme proportions. I mean, we're on the edge of fascism in this country. We've got climate change upon us. We have devastated voting rights. We are dehumanizing immigrants and people of color. This is a fundamental and profound crisis. So yeah, I expect a lot of the people we're electing, because they are the ones that are there going in to be the change agents, and we need to be pushing them to be there. So I think women's organizing is critical, but holding women and others accountable is profoundly important.
So, Jody, what do you also make of how Trump has responded to all of this? I know it's hard to give him any oxygen, but he is the president, and this was seen as a referendum, or he cast this election as a referendum on him, especially where the Senate was concerned. He literally said, for example, about Martha McSally in Arizona, a vote for her is really a vote for me. And in the Senate, that seemed to prevail. He wants to spin the House loss of Repu for the Republicans. He wants to claim victory, even though the House was lost by Republicans. So what do you make of this?
That's him. That's Trump. He's never wrong. He never loses a battle in his mind. That's who he is. Frankly, I don't know why we, not you and I, but any of us keep thinking something will be different. It will not be different. He will not be different. What we have to change is our strategies toward him and the radical right wing in this country, because they will continue to try to consolidate power with every and any tool. So we need strong, forceful leadership in the Senate. We need strong, forceful leadership in the House. We need people who understand what we're up against. And we need not to kind of pretend that we're still in a democratic moment, and act as though, we can hold hands and sing kumbaya on some particular effort. We need to be aware of the moment that we're in and the strategies we need to get out of that moment. And that's going to take everybody's leadership.
And actually, on the issue of Trump and what he's been up to, one of the big upsets on Tuesday night was Letitia James winning Attorney General of New York. Now, of course, New York being Trump's home state, she said in her victory speech that Trump should know that we here in New York, and I in particular, we are not scared of you. And as the next attorney general of his home state, I will be shining a bright light into every dark corner of his real estate dealings and every dealing demanding truthfulness at every turn. That made me happy, Jody.
Well, absolutely, because we know that this is the most corrupt president we've seen in our lifetimes, at least. And his entire family is corrupt. They are abusing power in their offices. They have abused power before they got into office. They've broken the law in many ways, and I think they need to be held accountable. So, yes, I was delighted to hear her say that because, again, we need to expect a lot of the people who are going to use the tools available to hold together our democracy and hold people accountable. That is absolutely critical.
So with the Democrats winning the House, but the Republicans keeping the Senate, the Democrats certainly can't pass much legislation, but the Senate can and will be approving judges, right, Jody? This is where their danger lies, with the Republican increasing its control of the Senate. And that can't be bad for women or Americans in general. That can't be good, rather, for women or Americans in general.
It's not good at all. It is also the fault of the Senate leadership, Senate Democratic leadership. They've been in the minority, that's true, but there have been different tools available to them as the minority that they could have used in key instances in order to stop the number of judges that were put in place before this election. That's the first thing. The second thing is that I really think that, Chuck Schumer is a very weak leader. He lost Senate seats where they shouldn't have been lost, in part because his advice to those senators was wrong, I think, and he didn't push them hard enough in certain ways. So I think he's a weak leader. I think we have a real problem in the Senate. I'm not at all disabused of the notion that we're going to be seeing successes there. So yeah, we're in trouble there.
Jody, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure Rewire.news will have a lot of a post-election analysis on your website, right?
We will be in the next few days having quite a bit of stuff, yes. So, and we've got some stuff going up today. So we've got a variety of different pieces that are going to be up on the different things we've just discussed, and then other analyses going forward over the next couple of weeks.
Well, thank you so much, as always. Really appreciate the work that you do and that your reporters do.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, and have a great day.
You too.
Take good care.
Jody Jacobson is president and editor-in-chief of Rewire.news. We've been discussing how women changed the election. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.